Hello to listeners both new and long-term. Quick note, Elise and I have finally launched our Patreon podcast. It's called We Couldn't Help But Wonder, Still Wondering. You can find it on the Patreon website and find an easy link through our website, wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com. To those who have already subscribed, our deepest thanks, and to those who haven't yet, come check us out. For only $4 a month, we'll be breaking down a new romantic comedy set in New York City in 3 to 4 episodes, with the same humor and detail we've brought to over 100 episodes of this podcast. The first few episodes of When Harry Met Sally are already available, and You've Got Mail is coming next. We're really excited to share this new series with you. All right, here's the show. Hey, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
How's it going today?
It's going very well. I just have a few butthole dons before we get started. First of all, we launched our Patreon this past week. It's called Still Wondering, A Journey Through New York City's Romantic Comedies. We are doing a new romantic comedy every month. We're starting with When Harry Met Sally. 2 of the 4 episodes are up right now, and you can find the link to that in our social media bios or on our website. But I wanted to say thank you, because we have had a lot of subscribers already, and that's just really exciting. And we wanted to put something out for you guys that was a completely new thing. It wasn't just bonus content or ad-free episodes, because you already get ad-free episodes. But anyway, yeah, so I just wanted to say thank you. And the second thing is my friend sent me the Good Morning America interview with Sarah Jessica Parker and Diane Sawyer. Right? I'm getting it right. I think she's Good Morning America. And anyway, in that interview, Sarah Jessica Parker kind of alludes to the fact that we may not know everything about this Samantha coming back, and that it was supposed to be kept a secret. So, it sounds like it might just not be a phone call, but I don't know. They could also be pulling one over on us, but I just thought that was pretty interesting. It led me to believe after listening to that who knows?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see when it happens. Do you remember how we do this? All right, I'm going to just start and we'll see how this goes, right? It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've talked about an episode of the Sex and the City world, but we did just record for like 14 hours last week.
Yeah, so we recorded a lot.
Yeah, so I think how it's gone in the past, Mike, is you usually say the name of the episode. Sometimes you let us know who wrote it, who directed it. There's no DVD description yet, but yeah, we'll just go from there.
Well, then here's what I have written in my notes. We have an episode called Met Cute. It is written by Michael Patrick King and Susan Fales Hill. She is new to our Sex and the City universe. She's written a ton. I mean, she wrote on A Different World. She wrote on Suddenly Susan. She was the creator of a show called Lynx, which was on Showtime and ran for a couple of seasons. And this is directed by Michael Patrick King. And we start with that Tiny Dancer remix that Britney Spears is allegedly on, though I don't ever hear her voice anytime that I hear this song.
Yeah, I don't hear it either. Britney, are you there? But something that I had 2 thoughts about this song as it was playing. I have the subtitles on, because I always do when I'm taking notes. And do you know that for years, up until this moment, did you know that I did not know that the actual lyrics of the song were "lay me down in sheets of linen"? I always thought it was "baby darling, she's so splendid." And that's not even the most uncommon mishap with this song. Usually it's "hold me closer, Tony Danza."
Correct.
And then I thought, are they using this song because Tony Danza is involved in "And Just Like That"? But that might be too much of a deep cut.
Yeah, I didn't know the lyric until you just said it just now, because I think that I just was sort of like, well, I don't know what you're saying, Elton.
So I'm just going to pretend.
Yeah, I just, whatever. Yeah. But so "lay me down in sheets of linen." All right.
Yeah, not "baby darling, okay, she's so splendid."
And we have a series of people walking into rooms. We have Carrie walking into a room where Franklin is. So we reveal that Franklin is still around. We have LTW walking in to see her husband. We have Charlotte walking in to see Harry. We have Seema walking in to see Zed, so he's also still here.
Zed is smoking in the bed with an ashtray.
So people are still smoking inside.
Right, but like,
that's still a thing.
The bed and the ashtray just kind of threw me off. Fire hazard.
Okay. And then we have Naya walking over to her TV. And we, you know, listen, once again, we come at this lovingly. I did have a friend describe this as the sex montage no one was asking for.
Well,
you know, I think that we're just sort of, we're establishing perhaps a sexier tone for the season.
2 things. I actually have written down, now we have a sex montage.
Okay.
And this was the scene that made me say to my mom, "Mom, you might not want to watch And Just Like That and just listen to the podcast." But you said the sex montage that nobody asked for, and that's actually not true, because one of the biggest complaints about season one from the viewers was that where did the sex go in Sex and the City? And they said,
"This isn't Sex and the City, and this is what you get when you make that complaint."
Right. And so if you were the one of the people that said there's no sex in Sex and the City, Samantha was the sex in Sex and the City, here you are, folks. Here's your sex. And just like that.
And Naya's only sex is on the TV.
Yeah.
We'll get into it more. I have thoughts about Naya in this episode, but we'll talk about it as we go along. And so we get to, you know, Franklin likes to watch cooking shows, but doesn't cook.
And Carrie says she cooks a little bit, and then they have this conversation about cooking salmon, and I got immediately thought of, was Carrie oversalting the salmon what killed Mr. Big, you know, because that's kind of what happened in the first episode. It wasn't. But and then they talk about how difficult salmon is to cook.
It's so easy. It's so easy to cook salmon, you guys.
Yeah, actually very easy and delicious in an air fryer. That's kind of.
Yeah, you almost can't do it wrong.
Yeah. And then they talk about poaching eggs. I can actually poach eggs. I taught myself how, and it was, I don't get things right on the first try usually, but this thing I don't know. I was born with a gift, Mike.
And, I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now we're in the kitchen and she's poaching an egg. And I will say, like, her kitchen just looks bigger. I do feel like I'd love to know behind the scenes if they have just enlarged her apartment.
Yeah. It does look bigger. I don't know if it's because, you know, they have that new floral, is it wallpaper or curtains in like her living space?
Yeah, we'll get to that too, because okay. I have thoughts on that came to me a little bit later.
Yeah, it's just so interesting. What I find interesting about Carrie's apartment is that parts of it look so brand new, but it's hard for me to believe that in almost 20 years, she wouldn't have done some rearranging of that handbag piece of art by her front door, that she wouldn't have been like, you know what, I'm just gonna rearrange this table. Like, some things are exactly how we left them and some things are completely different.
And Seema sent caviar because Carrie is taking her to the Met Ball.
Have you ever had caviar?
I have had caviar the first time that I ever had caviar, and honestly probably not the last. I'm sure I've had it since then, but it was at a holiday party when I lived in Atlanta, and someone had brought like little potatoes that had been steamed and then scooped a little bit and then with sour cream and caviar on top, and I just ate all of them.
Mike, I think it's actually probably creme fraiche. That's what they
probably put. It was probably.
Yeah.
But I was 21. I didn't know what creme fraiche was.
Yeah, I had it one time. I went to my mom's best friend's mother's. She had like a birthday party, I think, and it was at this really fancy place, and I was disgusted.
And, you know, I didn't know that normal people don't get to walk the stairs at the Met Ball. This is a new fact for me.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, I guess I didn't really. I didn't realize normal people went to the Met Ball.
I guess that is awesome.
You know,
very,
I just
very
kind
true.
Of assumed that if you were going to the Met Ball, you would get to be on the stairs.
And we find out that Carrie's wearing some hot new designer. We don't know what that means yet. LTW's wearing custom Valentino.
Seema doesn't know what to wear. Because she undersold Tom Ford's apartment.
I did like that little piece of trivia there. The buzzer buzzes, and it's Charlotte at the door, and we do now set up that, like, Charlotte's arriving and Franklin's on his way out. We also learned this is the third try at poaching an egg.
Which makes sense. I mean, I think for most people, if you're not blessed with the gift I have, it would take a few tries.
We can't all be Elise Castle.
No.
And Charlotte has Richard Burton, who has weak hind legs.
Which is true. A lot of dogs like that, especially like bulldogs and such, they have, you know, Glenn, my parents' dog, is a cockapoo. He has hip problems. Sometimes you have to help them up.
Every time you mention that you have a cockapoo, like, it blows, because we had cockapoos, and I thought that we were the only cockapoo family.
I thought it was cockapoo, but maybe it is cockapoo. But your dogs were, like,
either
left on a doorstep, and their names
are
Tim and Todd.
Yep, that is very true.
So what I found interesting was when, at first, I'm backtracking a second, but when Carrie said she's wearing a hot new designer, for some reason, I immediately thought it was going to be her neighbor, who's the jewelry designer.
I thought the same thing. I honestly had the same thought. Yeah.
Okay, good. And I love this scene where the way Carrie introduces Charlotte and Franklin, because it felt very funny and it shows that Carrie does have this great personality. I don't know.
It feels very Carrie. Yeah. After a very dark season of Carrie, this felt like fun, funny, sort of like off-the-cuff Carrie. Yeah, yes. I really enjoyed it.
Charlotte Goldenblatt. This is Franklin Silvius. He's just leaving. Franklin, this is Charlotte. She's just arriving. And I'm Carrie Bradshaw. I'll be your host and MC for about the next 30 seconds.
And it's such a small scene, but I thought it felt really good. And I loved Charlotte's face when the door shuts and she's just like, who is that?
Yep, want to know who that is. And we're going to get there, but now we're going to cut to LTW's closet and her daughter trying to recite French poetry.
Yeah, just let Gabrielle get through this poem.
Well, yeah, and like the son's interrupting, and I get what we're doing. I get that we're setting up the conflict of like a little bit man versus woman a tiny bit, and a little bit like priorities and men kind of like coming in to put their priorities over yours. I have thoughts about the breath check. I feel like that's a thing you do when someone's five.
I think it's a thing you do maybe when you're raising boys.
Maybe. I don't know. But at some point, I'm like, I don't need to smell your breath.
Yeah, I guess it's one of those things where the kid will just say they did because they forgot and they don't feel like doing it. So the mom's like, let me check.
Once again, when they're five.
Maybe. I don't know.
And Herbert can't find his tie and he misses her because she's been getting up early.
Yes. And he can't find, more specifically, he can't find his Morehouse tie, which I'm assuming is in reference to Morehouse College, which is a private historically black men's liberal arts college in Atlanta. And Ralph Lauren actually has a Morehouse tie collection. And then when he does, well, not when he finds it, but when LTW finds it, it is a red tie and it kind of matches with all the things I just said.
And she has to hurry to a meeting in hopes of getting funding for her documentary. And he sort of offers to just write her a check. Which leads us to a moment of tension as she, I think, wants to make a point, particularly in front of her daughter, that she is educated and has done this before and will get her own financing. And we're clearly setting up some marital tension here.
Yeah, it's a little bit of just, let me do this. I am a strong woman. But also, like, that would make my life a lot easier. I kind of got that
well,
vibe, too.
Listen, I had thoughts on this, because part of me was like, okay, then why isn't he just the executive producer? I don't know. Right. Like, I kind of see it on both sides here. And I will also say that his thing of, like, I get it loud and clear, and her saying later it will be louder and clearer. I'm like, are you going to yell at your husband later for offering to finance your film? I don't know. Many thoughts, and we won't get to all of them now. I'm curious to see where the season takes us. And then we're with Charlotte and Carrie on the street, and Charlotte wants to know what's going on.
And Carrie is dressed like an ensemble member from Ragtime in the opening number.
Gotcha.
I love the outfit, though. It's actually a pantsuit, I think. And I really love this outfit and the hat, but it was all I could think of when I saw it. And yeah, they're walking down. It's definitely a street on the Upper East Side, somewhere a little bit further west of where I live, because I don't live in one of those fancy houses. But yeah, that's where they're walking. And they kissed in an elevator 3 weeks ago is what she tells Charlotte. And so that lets us know it's been 3 weeks since season one passed.
The 3 weeks is a thing that I, no kidding, have to keep reminding myself. And once again, a thing that I'll get more into as we go along. But yeah, and then Carrie sort of saying, like, don't Charlotte this, like, don't make us into a couple. And I will say that Charlotte saying how big is his dick was my first laugh out loud moment of the episode, because she's being Samantha.
Right.
And I love that. Really, I thought that was so funny. And once again, I love when they incorporate Samantha. Like, I love incorporating, like, that character's still a thing, still a presence. And I thought it was really funny. And then she's Miranda and sort of has the thing about losing your power if you sleep with someone from work. And Carrie misses Charlotte. Yeah, I love it. It's fun. It's fun, fun, fun.
Yeah, it definitely feels like the girls talking like the girls again.
For sure. And I do think, you know, this is where we get the life's too short line that we've been getting in the trailer. And I was like, oh, this is where we get that line. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then we get to Miranda and Naya FaceTiming each other.
Well, Miranda's in a room. We can sort of see the sensory deprivation tank in the background, which she'll clarify later. And I will say that I do feel like Miranda is a little too everything is the best ever. Like, she's a little, I don't mind a little optimism in Miranda, but this feels like too much to me.
Well, I think back to your 3 week comment. I think Miranda, it's only been 3 weeks. So she's only been in LA with Che for 3 weeks.
This is legitimately still the honeymoon phase.
Right. They're in this honeymoon phase. They are somewhere that they don't live. They don't have their family. They are just living their best LA life. They're not working, you know.
And we learn that Naya's husband is on tour and she uses the term estranged. Mm. So, and then, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this conversation. It's the whole thing of like, I tried to go out to dinner, but it's so hard explaining to your favorite waiter why you're not, why your husband's not with you. And I'm like, he's on tour.
Yeah.
That's all, that you don't have to give any, there's not, it's not a complicated explanation. Just be like, yeah, he's on tour. Anyway, I'll have the cacio e pepe, you know.
And you and I have waited on so many regulars. I would never go up to someone and be like,
ever.
Why isn't your husband here?
Yeah. Such, no one's ever going to ask that. Absolutely. Can you imagine? No. Oh, why isn't your husband with you? That's, yeah, yeah. That's not, you're fine, Naya. You can go out to dinner. No one's going to bother you.
Eat your sweet green salad in your office.
Yeah. And Miranda's not going to help with this pity party. That's kind of it with the scene.
Yeah.
So we're at a I wrote a costume fitting.
For Che.
Yes. Thank you very much. And it's not going great, and I don't fully get it at I'm kind of confused by what's happening at first.
Yeah, the first time I got this, I just thought that Che did not want to wear a suit jacket because, in their words, it just screams, "Hi, America, I'm non-binary."
Right.
And it did look a little bit like a magician coat, like with celestial appliques. But then the writer for their show comes out, and we kind of see that maybe the writer wants Che to portray the character like them, but then we learn that it's Che's show, Che Pasa.
Yeah, I'm a little confused by the conflict simply because I'm now wondering whose idea this was.
Like, me too.
Whose show is this? Is this Che's show, or is this the, like, did the writer approach Che? I'd be curious to know how this goes. I will say that the writer, the character is BD, played by Anna McInerney, I think is how you pronounce their name. And I don't know this act. Like, I don't know this person. They had a show called Work in Progress that I watched the trailer for, and I'm now desperate to watch because it looks amazing.
Yeah, and they are a writer.
Yes. So anyways, curious to see. I guess all this is to say that I'm curious to know more about this. This is a storyline that I'm interested in because I don't fully understand who's in charge and who is supposed to be running the show here. And then we have a very brief scene with Miranda in the tank as water drips in her eye, and it's sort of a fuck the new me moment. And I guess this is Michael Patrick King, that this happened to him, that he was in a sensory deprivation and the salt water dripped in his eye. And yeah.
Yeah, this looked terrible. This does not look like fun. I guess I didn't understand what a sensory deprivation tank was. I thought for some reason you were in just like a room with a pool. So I don't want to be here.
Yeah, I don't think I do either, but I'm also not someone who enjoys a bath. And not that one has to the other exactly, but like just lying in water is not interesting to me. Yeah, we're at a cool looking bar with Jackie.
Yes, Carrie and Jackie Lee are at dinner. They're actually at Zuba, which is on Kenmare Street in Nolita. It's described as a fast casual Egyptian restaurant. When I hear fast casual, I usually think of like a Chipotle. So same. That's not what this is.
Yeah.
At all. This just looks like a really cool casual place.
Yeah. And he's going to pay because now we find out that it's his wife, Smoke, who is designing the dress.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie says it's because she's a crazy, massive talent. And we'll get more to that later as we go along, because I'm a little iffy on this particular point.
And she can't get Jackie and Smoke tickets.
Right. Like, it's not a fish concert. And I guess we find it, he's still doing a podcast of some kind.
Yes.
And that's kind of it. It's a quick scene with the two of them. And we get to a fitting with Lisa and Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. And this is that scene, I remember we saw it in either the teaser or the trailer, where I thought that maybe Anthony would be designing something. I thought maybe Anthony had opened like a fashion house or something, because you see all the sketches. But no. He's just on the couch watching it.
Yeah, just sort of checking out one of the designers as they walk by, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And we sort of have the conversation, and once again, where it's these two smart, strong women who are sort of talking about their husbands who are trying to be supportive, but they both feel like the husbands are supportive to a point.
Mm,
yes. And, you know, I think it's Anthony's thing of like enjoying the Rich People Problem podcast feels very correct in this moment.
Yes. Yes.
So I liked that. I like that.
And then LTW has to go because her babysitter got the stomach flu.
And there's a lot of little things dropped in of like Anthony wanting a selfie with Lisa's hot designer friend and finding out that he's Charlotte's date, and Charlotte's like, don't embarrass me at the Met Ball by trying to get selfies, and apparently Charlotte chased down Justin Bieber once.
But it was for the kids.
Yeah, it's for the kids. A lot of things happen fast, and Lisa has to go pick up Gabby, and we find out the theme of the ball is veiled beauty, and I like how Charlotte says it. She's like, veiled beauty. It's very dramatic.
And then Lisa makes a comment of, like, I won't do anything or I'll be careful as she's stepping off the podium to go get Gabby. And does she mean she's going to wear that draped fabric?
I was a little unsure about that as well.
Okay. I think she just means, like, I'll take it off carefully. But in my mind, she's running to pick up her child.
She's going to go dressed in paper.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Love it.
And Anthony loves balls.
Yeah. He just, anytime there's a word ball, I think Anthony's like, and balls. I do love Anthony. I love the energy that he brings to this.
I like him so much more now. Sometimes during the series, I found him to be a bit much. And even in the films, and I think they've done a good job of making him still be the same character. But I don't know. Somehow he fits into the world better for me now.
Yeah, I think that's also just humans in general. Like, as we get older, we get more comfortable in ourselves. And I think there's a way to, like, keep your own personality and also just be more comfortable.
Yeah. And we have Lily playing the piano, and Charlotte's about to go with Anthony to get the tux. And Rock announces that there's a huge problem.
Because Harry thinks he's going to the Met.
This comes from the idea that, like, sometimes you just can be on a completely different page with the like, we should know that this is a thing. Like, they should have figured this out by now. Like, someone should have been like, hey, I'm going with Anthony, or I'm so excited for the Met Ball. But I totally get that this happens. That, like, in your mind, you think a certain thing, and in their mind, they have a different thing happening. And yeah, we've gotten to this place where Harry's really excited to go. And he's excited to get the outfit. And he understands you can't wear a plain tux. And he didn't go to his prom because, you know,
he had Epstein Barr.
Exactly. And he's excited to meet, I can't even say, how does he, Rihanna? Is that how he
Rihanna.
Says it? Yeah, okay. Which is, I guess, not completely off the mark. But it sounds funny coming out of Harry's mouth.
It just sounds funny that Harry can't wait to meet Rihanna. Like, that's yes. That's the one person that he is so excited for. And also, we don't always know who's going to be at the Met Ball, but you just know that Rihanna will be there.
Yeah, she's going to be there for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And we're at a taping with Franklin and Carrie, and they have a voicemail from Chase.
And it's pretty much about taking a relationship to the next level. And in this moment, you kind of, they pan to Franklin and you realize, uh-oh, maybe Franklin wants to take his relationship with Carrie to the next level.
100%, because basically what Carrie says is if a guy, like, steps out of his pattern, that's how you know that he's interested. And we have the very next scene where Franklin steps out of his pattern to ask her to a bourbon tasting.
And you can see some hesitation, but she agrees.
But she agrees, yeah. And then, okay, all right, Miranda's trying to put on a very complicated strap-on.
It's a strap-on suit.
it's a full strap-on outfit.
Yeah, it's not just, like, you know, a belt with a hole for the ding dong. It is a full ensemble. And we'll get to it because there's pieces that really don't even do anything that are added. It's from the Hustler store because you see the bag on the chair.
Yes.
And then Carrie calls Che, which I was like, how do they know each other? I completely forgot.
They worked on a podcast together
right,
for a while.
That they're
and
the
it
reason,
is funny yeah. that, you know, she's calling because Che knows Franklin. And it, once again, those little moments that you're like, oh, right, they all know each other. They all work together. Yeah.
Right. And Carrie doesn't want to hear about Miranda's strap-on, which, you know, as a podcaster about sex, that makes sense. Like,
yeah,
it's always Carrie again.
Yeah, just, 100%.
You know. I mean, maybe it's her friend.
Yeah.
And a
I do like that Miranda is not philosophically or spiritually certain that she's even into the strap-on. That's just sort of a moment that we have. Yeah, because when Miranda wants to go on speaker, and I wrote Carrie tells and Miranda's, because Miranda says exactly what Charlotte thought she was going to.
Yes, and I love it because she says, Carrie, if you sleep with someone at work, you lose your power. And this felt like an old Miranda moment. This felt like the old Miranda.
For sure.
Right there.
And she's taken off speaker immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, and you were talking about the wallpaper slash maybe curtains. It was my second time watching it that I was like, oh, that's the wallpaper from the advertisements.
Oh, okay.
All the posters that have them sitting at a table with those big blue flowers in the background. It was in this moment that I was like, oh, that's her wallpaper. Okay. Yeah, just a moment of revelation for me.
And maybe because I see those ads everywhere, and then I also saw it a lot at the And Just Like That experience and all that stuff. I think I just had it all blended together that, of course, that's what that was. But was that print also in her apartment with Big?
You know what? I don't remember.
Me neither. I think it was, and maybe they carried it over.
I see what you did there.
I didn't see that till just now. Carried it over to her new apartment. I'll have to check that out.
And this is where we learn that they've been having sex every Thursday after the podcast. And she doesn't want to take it to any other level. And I have to constantly remind myself that it's been 3 weeks. Because mm-hmm. in my mind, I've been like, you've been hooking up with this guy every Thursday for a year and a half, and you're still not sure if you want this to go somewhere. And I have to like get in my mind of like, no, Mike, the series has been off for a year and a half, but this all happened 3 weeks ago. So it's not that big of a leap to think like 3 weeks in, she's not ready for this to go any further.
And I'm sure you heard this when you listened to Michael Patrick King's podcast. But what I found fascinating, too, is he was talking about how Carrie has already found the love of her life. She found the love of her life. She had it. She went through those ups and downs and excitement. And now she's just kind of at the point where things can be casual for her.
Sure, yeah.
You know, which you see here. You don't see her like the way that in Sex and the City, she was constantly agonizing over, I don't know, should I, shouldn't I, with different boyfriends. With here, it was just like, she knows what she wants now because she's already had what she wanted.
And we get Chase saying that some relationships are just about sex, and Miranda hears this. We definitely like clock Miranda mm-hmm. getting this information and processing it. And we have the idea of like, how's Franklin gonna react? And Chase doesn't really know. Like, he's a chill guy, but he's still a guy. And that's sort of the end of the conversation, and Miranda's done with the strap-on thing. The moment has passed for her.
Yeah, or as Chase says, what happened to Penis Palooza?
Yes. And Miranda asks about going to see Chase set, and Chase still working on stuff. And I understand that, and I understand the idea of like, hey, don't come today, like I'm still working it out.
Wouldn't you love to have a partner, though, that didn't want you to go to their stand-up set or improv 100%.
Shows? 100%. That's exactly what you want, is someone being like, no, don't come to my show. All right, okay, sure, as long as you insist I don't come.
Now, do you think in this moment Miranda took off her strap-on ensemble because she heard Chase say that some relationships are just about sex?
Yes.
Okay. That's
100%.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
So Seema is waking up and Zed wants her to meet his son on Monday. And it's pretty quick, but we just get the establish of like, oh, Monday? Because what else is happening Monday?
The Met Ball.
And we have a four gal variation out to eat, I wrote.
Mm-hmm. This is at Danielle.
Yes, which I've never been to.
Me neither. We should go. It's very expensive, but it could be fun.
I was going to say. And the universe is a bitch. And it's sort of like the man versus the Met. And this is where we have the purse perch, as I wrote. And I think they each get one. So I guess this is the thing this restaurant does.
Yes, there is a purse stool for everyone. And there are multiple stagehands bringing the purse stools out. Which I think in fine dining is a thing where everything comes at once. Like, you clear a table all at once, you bring the food all at once, so no one's ever waiting. So maybe you present the purse stools all at once.
Just saying, don't expect the purse perch at every restaurant, everyone.
No, but I guess at a restaurant like this, because when I've gone to fancy hair salons before, they will offer you a purse stool, and they also often offer you, like, a bag to keep your purse in so it doesn't get haired.
And it's going to be a European lunch, so it could last a month. And basically we come to that Seema says that she cannot go to the Met Ball. Carrie won't have someone gorgeous to go with. And this is where Anthony now brings up the booty call of like, well, what about the gorgeous booty call that Charlotte mentioned? And
I never said booty call.
You have a booty call?
It's not a booty call. We work together.
So it's an actionable booty call?
She isn't ready to let someone in a significant way.
Sorry, what is happening with you?
I am having exit out of grief sex every Thursday with a very nice man. Then he asked me to go out with his friends on a Tuesday, and I felt like I had to say yes.
Just don't go.
Oh, okay. How? How do I tell him I don't want to go out on Tuesday without seeming like I see you next Tuesday?
You're overthinking this. Men aren't that emotional. Just tell him you changed your mind. He'll handle it.
Okay.
And another thing we should take note of is Seema does say that she's never been to his place.
Yes.
In this scene.
Once again, it's only been 3 weeks. This is another one that I have to remind myself. It's only been 3 weeks. This is all new.
Yes. And Charlotte, I love when they're talking about Franklin. Charlotte goes, he's very nice. Yes. Like, because Charlotte now has met this person. It just felt very, very Charlotte. Yeah.
And now we have the tap, tap, tap story.
Mm-hmm. Anthony was giving a beach and the guy tap, tap, tapped him on his head and said, I thought I'd be into it, but I'm not.
Yeah. Maybe one day I'll be ready to tell you a story that's very similar that happened to me once.
Well, now you've just told everyone that listens to this podcast that there's a story, so...
Don't tell anyone. Shh. Then we have Charlotte tap, tap, tapping Anthony out. But he could be Carrie's plus one, and he's going to consider it.
Yes. And also, I'm sorry, but anytime I hear tap, 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 I'm going to think of Dear Evan Hansen. There's a song, Waving Through the Window. Okay. Yeah, I just kept waiting for someone to come in with that, but... Yeah, and this begins what infuriates me the most out of this episode, which is the way that they just treat Anthony and Anthony's time in regarding to the Met Ball, which also, I must say, it's called the Met Gala, everyone, but we're all going to call it the Met Ball.
Because like we have to use the word ball.
Yeah, like we call Che's show a comedy concert.
So we have Naya out at a bar as a gentleman approaches, and this is...
Yes, they're at the Park South Hotel. The restaurant itself has a different name. It is GGT Tokyo, and it's on East 28th Street. I believe it's in the Park South Hotel.
And I'll have what she's reading, which annoyed me at first because, like, I've read at a bar before, and don't make fun of me for reading at a bar. I'm just trying to relax and read my book.
Yeah, and of course, I immediately just thought of When Harry Met Sally because we've been talking about that. I'll have what she's having. Naya is reading Who's Black and Why by Skip Gates.
Yes. And this is Toussaint. Gary Dorden, I think is his name. He was on CSI for a very long time. He's done a lot of stuff. And we get sort of like a fun, flirty scene where she seems surprised or perplexed. And I kind of want to be like, you're super hot. Has no one ever flirted with you before?
Well, I don't necessarily know in this moment if it's surprise or if she's thinking like, because he says that he would like to talk to her or something, but she has her purse up and she does move her purse. Like that would have been a good moment to show her ring or her diet, as she calls it.
Yeah, but he brings up the molten chocolate cake and she's on a diet and he hadn't clocked the ring.
Yes, but she already kind of let him in, which leads me to believe, I don't know if she's surprised or if she's kind of contemplating how much do I entertain this moment.
Perhaps bemused.
Yes. And then she shows the ring. He walks away and she orders another glass of Malbec. And we've already heard she's had two, so this will be her third glass.
Yes. And now we're at the comedy concert where no one walks in LA, which is very true.
However, I don't know if it's as funny as...
Nothing's as funny as... Yeah.
I just wish that they would have ended Che's set with some better material. Like the last line
is a weird
set.
Where like it's sort of a strange-ish joke and then there's like a pause and then like and that's my time. And I'm like, well, okay, that was a weird way to end.
Yeah.
But you know, they're working on it. And then I was like, Miranda went to the show?
Right. But maybe it's the next day.
That's what I couldn't figure out. Like I couldn't figure out the timing here of is this the next day?
I think it has to be the next day because Che's initial response to Miranda being there is not, you weren't supposed to be here.
But it is, don't hug me, you surprised me, I'm at work. Which feels kind of harsh. I don't know. It's intro. And we're going to get to why.
Right. Yeah. When I first watched it, my immediate response was, oh, she must have shown up to Che's show early. But then the second time I thought, oh no, Che's just responding this way because of what we find out later.
So Naya lights a candle and tries to FaceTime Andre. She really wants to FaceTime and he clearly does not.
Yeah, she's having more wine. And at first I thought Naya was demanding Andre turn on his FaceTime because she was worried he was cheating, which maybe she still was. But she wants to show him something that's not her face.
Yeah.
And then she says she's wearing the panties he likes with the clit beads.
Oh, right.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either. I guess we could look it up, but who knows where that would take us.
Yeah, I always get scared. I get scared that I'm going to look up something and my computer will explode. And I don't know.
Yeah, he comments that it's late where she is. And I wrote, she's definitely not sober.
Mm-mm.
And someone else is there. Heidi in a hat is there.
Yes. Who the hell is that in a hat?
Yeah. and that she had a chance to write a song with a super hot man. I just wrote, she does not take the high road. I don't think that she's going to wake up the next day and be happy about what has happened on this night.
No, and I also love Heidi in a hat just kind of sitting there like this.
Well, she does not want to be part of this. She's like, I'm just working on music. I do not need to be part of this.
She's trying to blend in with the hotel furniture.
And all that I'll say is this is the last we're going to see of Naya. And Karen Pittman, I love her as an actress. I think this character is really interesting. I'm curious to see where this character goes in the future, because right now in this first episode, she feels like she's in her own show. Mm. Like, she has that one phone conversation with Miranda that ties her in. And then besides that, she feels so separate. So I hope they bring her in more. I hope that we see her as part of the group a little bit more as we go along.
Well, I don't know if this is some foreshadowing, but really the only way to get her into the group is to have Miranda come back.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
You know, because, like, for example, Seema wouldn't just be in the group if it wasn't for Carrie, and LTW wouldn't be in the group if it wasn't for Charlotte.
Yeah.
So to get Naya back in would mean that Miranda would have to come back to New York.
So, yeah, I guess we'll see. So it's the day of the Met, and Carrie's wearing a kimono that Stanford sent.
Yeah, I forgot that, like, Stanford is still with us in this show.
Yes, he's just in Japan, and Smoke isn't worried. And apparently two different seamstresses got the stomach flu from Lisa's nanny.
Yeah, in this moment, too, when Smoke brought up that two seamstresses had the stomach flu, we heard that LTW had the stomach flu, my first thought that the storyline was going to go to, like, Carrie sharding at the Met.
Sure.
Like, Carrie would just come down to the... Like, I thought we were going to get, like, a stomach flu storyline moment.
And the cape is done, but the dress is not. And... yeah, I have feelings on this, but we'll continue to talk. Carrie asked Jackie to check in again. It doesn't go well. I don't know. I'm kind of like, Smoke, what's up? I don't know. Like, she's a super talented designer, and that cape is nice, and I guess that she was relying on two different seamstresses, and neither one worked out, but this, I don't feel this is handled super professionally.
No, I would have called someone else. I would have called a third.
Or sew it. Like, I don't know. Like, have it, like... you're designing something for the Met Ball. Like, maybe have it done the day before it's supposed to be done. I don't know. I'm not in the fashion world, but we'll get more into it. Jackie smells Franklin's expensive man perfume.
Carrie says we're not a couple, and Jackie says, does he know that because men are dumb?
Yeah. Yes. And it's not okay to objectify people anymore.
Men are dumb with feelings.
Yes. And then we get to Miranda looking at pictures that Brady has sent, and Che learning their lines.
And she's trying to touch Che, but Che is not having it.
Yeah, you don't want me to hold you lately. And Che's been afraid to tell Miranda that Che is on a diet. And then I wrote, this is honestly kind of heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Like, this scene does become very, very Margaret Cho, I'm the One That I Want. If you have not seen that, listeners, find it. It's an amazing one-woman show that sort of deals with the idea of getting a show that you think is yours and then being told that you are not correct to play the role of yourself, which is what this feels like to me.
The costume department said that my belly hangs over my jeans, and that's why I keep pushing your arms away. I was afraid to tell you because I don't want you to think of me as this person. Fuck! God, after everything I've been through, I let this bullshit still get to me.
You know, and this moment really hit me because I kind of had this realization. I had a moment like this just a couple weeks ago. You know, I think we've come a long way in the world of body positivity and, you know, especially growing up when I was in a larger body, like, it was impossible for me to find like clothes at the mall. I had to order everything off the internet, and now there's a lot more options. And I think about, and like, there's, we do see representation of larger bodies in TV and in advertisements. However, that shit still gets to you. Like, I don't know, maybe it's because of growing up in the 90s and diet culture, but there's days where I feel great and there's days where everything I eat, I worry about, because what if this makes me gain weight and what does that say about me? And it's I think the most frustrating thing is that I'm still thinking about it. So that's kind of, I identified that maybe it wasn't even the fact that Che's gut hangs over their jeans, which is what was ultimately said by the costume department.
Also, go fuck yourself, whoever said that to you. Like, that enraged me when I heard it. And once again, probably because, yes, we all deal with these same things. And the idea of someone saying that, ooh, I will get real mad slash real sad.
Well, I mean, yeah. And it just proves that the industry really hasn't changed that much. You know, when I was in college, people were getting the fat talk left and right from our professors because of the industry. And you have to look a certain way for the industry and blah, 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 and this and that. And in a lot of ways, it has changed, but we find out every day in a lot of ways it hasn't changed. And we discover that's also why the writer and the costume department were so insistent on Che wearing that blazer to cover up when it wasn't just about the celestial appliques.
Right. And then Miranda was afraid to tell Che that she thought the relationship was just sexual. And I like Sada's line reading of, no, it was about the jeans.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. And you're the most beautiful person I've ever seen. And let's get pizza, but thin crust. And I think that that's Miranda going for the comedy in that moment, which I
and
think
And I actually
makes
like that
them.
Moment.
As well, yes. And Carrie calls Franklin, you know, to just let him know that the jacket is at Carrie's and that she's changed her mind and she's only comfortable with Thursdays.
Yes, she's not ready with Tuesdays with Franklin.
And not ready to book a table at Relationship Place. And I love him so much, just real quickly.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm ready, Franklin.
Franklin, I'm ready. I'm ready Monday through Sunday.
Any day, Franklin, I'm here for you. He was also on the episode of Never Have I Ever that I watched last night, which just dropped on Netflix.
Never have you ever, but you would.
I would in a second, Franklin, call me. And hair and makeup is here. And then do you have a Band-Aid? And you, Carrie's starting to get real nervous about this dress situation.
Yes.
We have a series of scenes that kind of happen quickly now with we're at lunch with Seema and the rest. And it's going really well. And the men go to smoke. And then we quickly find out that Zed still lives in his ex-wife's house. And Seema checks the time. And it's just the time that she said she'd have to start getting ready for the Met Ball.
And then we cut to Carrie and her hair is done. And I like it, but I don't know how I feel about that dangly thing that's coming down from her hair.
There's a lot. I have, it's the Met Ball slash Gala, so I get that we go for like a costumey look, but yeah, that's some hair going on there.
I just feel like that one piece should either have been curled or put up.
Sure.
As opposed to just like dangly. And Seema calls and says she's back on. And what Carrie should say in this moment is, Seema, I'm so sorry, but I've already invited Anthony.
Yeah, I don't love this. I don't love this on several fronts. First of all, we should note that this is the same restaurant that they filmed the scene with the purse purchase in. So we've
They're
repurposed
back at
the restaurant. Yes. And Carrie admits that she's having a dress issue. So things are happening really quickly. Seema says that she's not going to miss the Met for a mess. And you're such an American. And this is purposeful. I get it. But it does sort of establish Seema as a character who is very quick to change her mind. Very quick to go like, oh, no, I see a problem. I'm out. And it's purposeful that they're setting that up on for a reason. But I did have that thing of like, no, you can't just decide that you're going to go to the Met Ball now. Like, someone else is invited. Yeah, I don't know. And because we have the call to Anthony of like, this is your male escort and I will be putting out. But he won't. And Carrie breaks the news and tap, tap, taps. And that, you know, Seema needs the Met more. Yeah, I don't love it.
Mm-mm.
Herbert walks in on Lisa, who is stressed. And, you know, she's ready from the waist up. So nothing can be smeared or messed. Yeah, she feels like she's forgetting something.
He only needs 8 minutes.
Yeah, he only needs 8 minutes, which I'm like, good for you. Yeah, only from the waist down. Lily is helping since Charlotte, and Rock doesn't want to help for moral reasons. And
yeah,
Harry's
this felt very
pinch.
Very stepmother, like wicked stepmother in Cinderella.
Yes,
with the cinching.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that Rock says I won't be part of upholding the patriarchy and the heteronormative standards of beauty, and Charlotte's response, which is just like, I see that.
But right this very moment, I need you to get over here and cinch me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this is a funny thing that was felt like a revelation. And I don't know how we didn't realize it. But like I had thought that this was Charlotte crossing the street in that very flowy red dress.
Mm.
And we're going to see that it wasn't. Because we have Lisa in Valentino. And we find out the thing that she forgot to do was confirm the van.
And what I love about this moment is I feel like they needed her to forget that van just so we could see that train walking
Absolutely.
Through the Upper West, Upper East Side.
For sure.
Yeah.
And it's very dramatic. And she has that like headpiece that I think that what I understood is they filmed this earlier in the day that they then filmed the restaurant scene, and there was worry that she would have creases in her face.
Yes.
But I guess it all worked out fine.
It reminds me of like a glamorous Hellraiser.
Yes, 100% for sure.
But the look is stunning. I will say that. And that was custom Valentino for Nicole Ari Parker.
Yes. And and it's also funny that we thought it was Charlotte in this red dress when we saw Charlotte in the dress that she ends up wearing. So we've seen Charlotte in this other outfit.
Right. I think maybe we thought that it was a costume ball with Charlotte's outfit that we're seeing. Like it was a Halloween costume because it is giving a little more Halloween, like lion tamer look.
I agree. Yes, for sure.
But they said that their inspiration for it was My Fair Lady. Like, My Fair Lady, so. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And these boots are going to be rough walking up all those stairs, and we sort of get to, once again, like, you're not going up the stairs. There's going to be no stairs. There's going to be no Rihanna.
Yeah, no Rihanna. Doesn't want to take a picture with you as a Dickens caroler, Harry.
Yes, and why am I even going if no one's going to see me? So Anthony's back in, and he can be ready yesterday.
I would slap them, Anthony.
And then Seema has her whole team. And I guess we just established that she is this very powerful woman that can get anything done whenever she wants it done. But I am like, were they just waiting? Were they like, no one had anything else to do today?
So we'll get more into this in the next episode. But there is a gentleman here. The character's name is Juan Jose. And he plays her hairstylist. His name is Ricardo Rojas. And he himself is a celebrity hairstylist. So He has styled for many, many, many famous celebrities, has his own salon. And this is just one of those moments that Sex and the City / And Just Like That does a lot, where they bring in these real people, these real New York characters, and put them into the shows, sometimes just giving them different names.
Quick note, I have not seen the second episode yet. So I've held back on that, yes.
Wow, okay.
There's the moment of Anna's gonna love it. I assume we mean Anna Wintour.
Sure.
The dress is still not ready. It's supposed to be sickeningly tight to show off her kick-ass body. And here's what I wrote. I want to be on Smoke's side, but she needs to calm the fuck down. Like, you're the professional here. You're the one who messed up. I understand that you're stressed, but you're stressing out your client, and that makes me a little crazy.
Yeah, and I also didn't get it until I watched it the second time. The line, I need a smoke break.
I thought
was him just going outside to smoke,
nope,
but it meant
he needs a smoke break.
Yeah. And she does say, Carrie, you must have something fabulous to wear with my cape, which leads me to believe that the cape is the most exciting part of this outfit, which is kind of how I felt anyway. Not that the dress wasn't beautiful, but it just wasn't anything like mind-blowing for me. Even
I agree.
Yeah.
And, you know, Carrie's thing of like, and I'm like, you probably do. But, you know, I don't just have something in my closet ready to go. And you kind of see the gears turning, and she reveals, well, there's something that she's only worn once, and it's not the best memory. And we have paper, 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 yeah. And there's the bird.
Yeah, I in this moment was thinking where she's like, well, the Met Ball is happening in 5 minutes and I'm running late, but sit down, I have a story for you. Like, it felt very like the beginning of Titanic. It's been 84
years. Yeah,
so much tissue paper.
And there's the Vivian Westwood wedding dress.
Yeah, and, you know, they knew, as you know, when you were listening to the Michael Patrick King podcast, is that they knew they wanted this dress in here. And I just assumed that it was in storage with all of SJP's stuff, but it wasn't. They had to go to the archives. It was like in a museum somewhere, and then they had to get it back into the shape that it would look presentable on TV. You probably didn't notice this because I didn't until I read more about this scene, but she is actually wearing Smoke's pincushion on her wrist as a bracelet when she walks down the stairs. But it was just so important that they had that moment for her to kind of reclaim that wedding dress.
And yeah, and just like that, I repurposed my pain.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'll have more as the series goes on. You know, this first episode, we obviously had a lot to unpack and a lot to talk about. But, you know, I guess if we're going to wrap it up with I couldn't help but wonder how you wait until the day of the Met Ball to finish a dress. That's mine.
Yeah. And I guess for me, I couldn't help but wonder How is Naya going to be brought back into the story?
Very curious. You know, I thought it was a good first episode. I have definitely moments that I kind of bumped against and thought, what's happening here? But I'm very curious. I'm excited to see where the series goes. I'm excited to see the stories that they're telling this year.
Yeah, I did ask our listeners, you know, if you've seen the episode, what were your thoughts? And I would say 90% of them were positive, especially compared to what they thought of last season, that they were all really excited. And I think this is the last thing I'll say, but, you know, in, once again, Michael Patrick King's podcast, when he was talking to the writers, he was talking about these polarizing characters, and they were saying, like, listen, these characters are not supposed to represent everyone in a community. They're just a person. And I think that's the thing, is because Sex and the City felt so universal to us with, I'm a Carrie, I'm a Charlotte, I'm a Samantha. And some people are like, well, I don't know if I feel like I'm a Che, or I don't know if I feel like I'm a Seema. That's okay. Like, not everyone is everyone.
Right. We don't have to relate to every character in everything.
Mm-mm.
All right, sweet. So that was our first episode. We'll be back.
Sweet.
Sweet. We'll be back next week with episode 2. I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah, I'm surprised you haven't. So get on that, Mike.
All right. We'll talk to y'all later.
Bye.
Bye.
You can subscribe to our new Patreon-only podcast, We Couldn't Help But Wonder, Still Wondering, right now! For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. And don't forget to check out my new podcast with Vanya Arslanian, Mike and Vanya Can't Not. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love if you would share this podcast with someone, put up a link, or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. Most importantly, stay safe, and let's all take care of each other. We'll be back next week with The Real Deal.
Directed by Michael Patrick King. Sorry, I'm going to say that again.
That lets us know it's been 3 weeks since season one passed.
Since season one passed. Season one died.
Season one is no longer with us. Hold on, Mike. You just said a self-deprivation tank. It's a sensory.
Oh, sensory. And a sensory deprivation tank.
Yeah. Which is fine. I just love self. I love a self-deprivation tank.
I am constantly in a self-deprivation tank. That's just where I live.
Also, at this point, too, Charlotte starts putting on, like, a strap-on necklace. There's this dangly costume jewelry piece that goes with the strap-on suit.
It's definitely Miranda, but I like the idea that, like, in your mind, there was some segue to Charlotte also putting on a strap-on. Just like in the background, it's just Charlotte being like, now where does this go?
Now what's this part for? I don't want to be Mrs. Up the Butt Girl. The Michael Patrick Ping. We can't say his name. The Michael Patrick King podcast is that they knew they wanted this dress in here.